new hymn books and new tunes. First of all, I want to commend to you three publications. First of all, Hymns and Tunes Indexed by David Parry. It's published jointly by the Hymn Society of Great Britain and Ireland and the Royal School of Church Music. This is a standard reference book, and it covers all the current hymns and all the available tunes. The virtue of the book is this, that if you can remember the opening line of a hymn, but not the tune, then you simply look up the line, and the book will give you the various tunes used for that hymn and where to find them. There are three sections in the book. There's an index of first lines, there's an index of standard tunes, and there's an index of meters, so it enables you to chop and change. Hymns and Tunes Indexed by David Parry. P-E-R-R-Y. What is the publication? Published by the Hymn Society of Great Britain and Ireland. You can see that after. The second publication is A Hymn Book Survey, 1962 to 1980, by Robin Lever. L-E-A-V-E-R. At the time of writing, Robin Lever was the associate librarian at Latimer House in Oxford. It's published in the Grove Worship series, and it gives a very healthy and a balanced estimate of most of the hymn books on the market today. A Hymn Book Survey by Robin Lever. And the third one is English Hymns and Their Tunes by Eric Routley. It's published by the Hymn Society of Great Britain and Ireland. The booklet divides church history into various sections, and it passes an equitable judgment on the various types of hymns produced at various stages in church history. For example, there's a section on pre-Reformation hymns, on the Reformation under Luther and Calvin, on English metrical psalms, on English hymn tunes in the 18th century, and on Welsh hymnody, and so on. English Hymns and Their Tunes by Eric Routley. These publications will be on the table if you want to consult them at the end of the afternoon. I want to begin and end the afternoon with Christian words set to secular tunes. I sent out a questionnaire to some 30 of the men in the fellowship, and I was surprised to find that quite a number of the men object to the practice of using secular tunes for spiritual words. But in fact, there is a good precedent for that. The tune that we use for Good Christian Men Rejoice has its roots in a popular German dance. The music that we use for what is known as the Passion Chorale, O Sacred Head So Wounded, was originally a secular love song. The hymn tune Russia, God the Omnipotent, God who ordainest, before it became the pseudo-religious Russian national anthem, was first of all a worldly song written to flatter the vanity of Tsar Nicholas I in 1833. And Haydn's famous tune, Austria, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, was first of all a patriotic song, and then, of course, it became the theme for the variations in his string quartet in C. And if you have the courage, although some may say the lack of judgment, to adopt Songs for God's People, subtitled Songs of the Iona Community, you will find secular tunes in plenty. What a Friend We Have in Jesus, The Scarlet Ribbons, Dream Angus, and an obscure song called Come Ye Hour Frae France. Our first secular tune is the Dambusters March by Eric Coates, and it's used for fine words by Richard Bewes, and the words, of course, are a setting of the 46th Psalm. God is our strength and refuge. Can we try these words now? James. That it can be found in several of the contemporary hymn books. You find it in Hymns for Today's Church, which I'll speak about later on, and you also find it in the New Redemption Hymnal. And speaking about the New Redemption Hymnal, can I speak about the Old Redemption Hymnal? In fact, about two of the golden oldies from last century. Redemption Songs and Sankey Without Moody. The questionnaire suggested that quite a number of hymns from these books had fallen into deep disfavour on three grounds. First of all, on the grounds that the hymns were too subjective. They were too man-centred rather than God-orientated. And they were over-concerned with I, me, my, mine, as against thou, thee, thy, thine. Secondly, it was argued that many of the hymns are almost solidly Arminian in their theology. And thirdly, it was felt that the tunes are trite, and naive and simplistic. But in fact, not all of that is true. And it is a tribute to these hymns that they have lasted for over 100 years. Not all the sentiments are Arminian. There are perfectly good hymns in Redemption Songs and Sankey which ascribe objective glory to God. And the good news is that Redemption Songs has been updated and now appears as the New Redemption Hymnal. And in fact, this is a very fine collection. It misses out a great deal of the old material, which was heavy with the Victorian mission hall religiosity, and it incorporates some very fine singable hymns. When I survey the wondrous cross, is here with no less than three tunes. And the book has the courage to include a verse that is missed out by many hymn books. His dying crimson, like a robe, spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. That's here. William Mason's lovely hymn, Lord, I was blind, I could not see, is here, using the fine tune Bodmin. Lord, I was blind, I could not see in thy marred visage any grace. But now the beauty of thy face in radiant vision dawns on me. Here you will find Paul Cook's Rise with me, my soul in triumph, set to that stupendous Welsh tune, Arwelfa. Rise with me, my soul in triumph, mounts to see the Prince of Kings. The theme from Beethoven's Choral Symphony is here. For the gift of Christ, our Saviour, Lord, we give you thanks today. And if you like Vaughan Williams' lovely organ prelude on the Welsh tune Rosimidr, then you will find Rosimidr here. And you will find it used for lovely words about the Christian family. Our Father, by whose name all fatherhood is known, who dost in love proclaim each family thine own, bless thou all parents, guarding well with constant love as sentinel the homes in which thy people dwell. And along with that, you will find two other first-class and much-needed hymns on the Christian home and the Christian family. 950. O give us homes built firm upon the Saviour, where Christ is head and counsellor and guide. 951. Happy the home where God is there, and love fills every breast, where one their wish, and one their prayer, and one the heavenly rest. Happy the home where Jesus' name is sweet to every ear. Happy the home where prayer is heard and prayer is wont to rise. And still on the old redemption songs, and this new redemption hymnal, which I commend to you, in each of these books, you will find the tune Geibel, which sings marvelously to stand up for Jesus. And we're going to sing it now, perhaps two verses. You'll find it in CH3, not the books. Oh. Mamma mia, cosa fai? Oh, they should know the words. Stand up for Jesus. We go,
stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lit by his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead. Every foreign vanquish, and Christ is all indeed. Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, let high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss.
Try another verse, will we?
Stand up for Jesus.
Redemption hymnal also contains two very useful Welsh tunes, Bryn Calfaria, Hill of Calvary, and Calon Lan, A Pure Heart. Now, I think it's a pity that most of us in our congregational singing confine ourselves to one or two of the better Welsh tunes, like Comronda and Llanfair, Praise the Lord, His Glory Show, and Penlan, Today Thy Mercy Calls Us. But Bryn Calfaria is a great Welsh tune, and it sings well, and it sings even better if you sing the first few verses in the minor, in which it's written, and then in the last verse move into the major. I first heard this in a Salvation Army hall, I think in Cullen, and it just about brought the roof down. So can we try? Hark, the gospel news is sounding. Old-fashioned words. First two verses here, minor, and then we go into the major for Christ alone shall be our portion.
Christ has suffered on the tree. Sweet the mercy far abounding, praise for all is rich and free. Now for sinner, look to him.
second Welsh tune is Calon Lan. We use it up in Inverness for the words, "Little children, wake and listen." It's a Christmas hymn. The original Calon Lan was a hymn from the Holiness School, and it's a prayer for the blessing of a pure heart. It sings very well to what a friend we have in Jesus. Can we try one verse of that to Calon Lan? Ellen Vannon, not Ellen Donan, which is a castle. Ellen Vannon is the tune. And there's no need to write to me for the music. If there's a Salvation Army Corps where you live, ask the officer in charge to lend you the Salvation Army tune book with supplements 1 and 2, and you'll find Ellen Vannon there. It really is a very nice tune, and again, it sings well too. What a friend we have in Jesus. I think we may need a complete verse, James, because it isn't awfully well known. A friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Ellen Vannon can also be used for "Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to serve and follow thee." And having sung three Welsh tunes, I think we should move to three tunes from Scottish psalmody. And I want to commend to you three tunes from the Free Church Psalter. The first is Argyll. It's used on the West Coast for Psalm 107. Oh, that men to the Lord would give praise for his goodness then. And at funerals on the West Coast, they incorporate the words, "Then are they glad, because at rest and quiet now they be. So to the haven he them brings, which they desired to see." We used it at a Christmas Eve service to "Oh, greatly blessed the people are." And it was a great experience. Church hymnary, the revised one, the three, see it, three, number 390. "Oh, greatly blessed the people are." And let's use this tune, Argyle, two verses. The standard tune in the Free Kirk for the 8th Psalm. Two verses, and you'll find Psalm 8 at 138. Tune is Denfield. It's the old United Free Church tune for Psalm 126. When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we. And it sings excellently to "Oh for a Thousand Tongues," verse, hymn number 371 in the book. And we'll sing two verses to the tune Denfield. I think it's better known.
Assist me to proclaim, to
resolutely holds the field today is Hymns of Faith, published by Scripture Union. Not many know that it is, in fact, the third edition of another book called Golden Bells. Golden Bells first appeared in 1890 as Golden Bells, Hymns for Our Children. It was republished in the 1930s as simply Golden Bells, and it now appears here as Hymns of Faith. We use it in Inverness, and we've discovered that, like the curate's egg, it is good in parts. The good parts are very fine, and the bad parts are truly awful. Its strength lies in the fact that it gives us some of the great old hymns. For example, Ascalon is here. We usually sing that to Fairest Lord Jesus, but they use Isaac Watts' fine words, "How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people say, come, let us seek our God today." The jolly tune Saint Teresa is here. I think the tune is probably more jolly than the lady ever was. It's the old Baptist tune, "To brightly gleams our banner, pointing to the sky." I remember once singing it in Hilkinson. Yes. Deep Harmony is here. "Sweet is the work, my God, my King, to praise thy name, give thanks and sing." There's a splendid children's section numbering 65 children's hymns and including the charming Tyrolese, "To the wise may bring their learning." These are the strengths of Hymns of Faith. But if you're thinking of going over to it, the disadvantages are not few. The book leans very heavily on Golden Bells and is therefore rooted in Edwardiana and Victoriana. There are no concessions to modernity whatsoever, and everything in it is resolutely "Thou be thy thine." And without wishing to be too critical, Hymns of Faith misses out on a great opportunity by including the hymn, "Are We the Soldiers of the Cross?" In the first place, they don't use the stirring old Salvation Army tune. And in the second place, they omit or change the crucial verses. Here's the original. I don't know. "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me up to God? Since I must fight, if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word." What's wrong with that? You just miss it. And it's in the New Redemption as well, yes. If you're thinking of changing to Hymns of Faith, you must also reckon with two other failings of the book. Many good singable hymns are set far too low. All glory, Lord, and honour, which is in C major, goes down to B flat. So you've got to start on a bottom B flat. Peace, perfect peace, moves down from C to B flat. Ein feste Burg is down from D to C. And the great psalm tune, St. John, is down from D to C. Far too low. Congregations can sing at these other pitches. And secondly, sorry to say this, some of the tunes are rearranged in such a simplistic way as to sound ridiculous. With harps and with viols is one. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night is another one. You know that with harps and with viols starts on a first inversion. Most hymns start on a common chord with do as the bass. A first inversion is when mi is the bass note. And you never start anything with a first inversion. It just sounds preposterous. I can't think of a piece of music that starts with a first inversion. But they've broken the record. With harps and with viols starts with a first inversion. And if you're going to use these hymns and many others like them, then you have to go to other books for proper settings. To its credit, Hymns of Faith does include a very fine selection of German Reformation chorales. Now, I know that that may be something of an acquired taste for some, and you certainly mustn't sing them at a German speed. But with a little perseverance, congregations can be encouraged to sing them heartily. Now, there is one on the sheet here. It's worth trying. The tune is Straf mich nicht in deinem Zorn, and it's a hymn about Christian watchfulness. If we could have a complete verse, very easy tune. To slow James, that's German speed. Still German. A little faster. Danke, sorry, speed.
Thank you.
hymns for today's church. If you want a thoroughly good 20th century book, then this is the one for you. Thou, thee, thy, thine, dissolve and are transmuted into you, your, and yours throughout. Thine be the glory, becomes yours be the glory. Thy way, not mine, O Lord, becomes your way, not mine, O Lord. And none of it sounds objectionable or distasteful. There is a first-class supplement at the end of the book. Here you will find, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. I want to walk with Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. Make me a channel of your peace, and so on. And just to show you what an excellent mix is in this book, six of the hymns are by Horatius Bonar, 10 are by James Montgomery, 20 are by Isaac Watts, 26 are by Charles Wesley, 6 are by Michael Bourne, 46 are by Timothy Dudley Smith, 35 are by Christopher Idle, who incidentally has reviewed grace hymns and Christian hymns in the Crusade magazine of November 1977. Grace Hymns is published and compiled by the Reformed Baptists in England. It's a good, solid book with good, solid evangelical material, but it owes nothing to this century. It's a splendid volume, but I find it just a little bit old-fashioned. Grace Hymns, and since it's published by a rather small denomination, I think there might be some problem in obtaining regular supplies of books. Christian Hymns is published by the Evangelical Movement of Wales, and I want to speak about that later on. Hymns for Today's Church is very much a South of the Border hymn book, but I think it could be used in our northern fastnesses. And if ever I change to another book, this is going to be the book. South of the Border, there's another good collection called the Anglican Hymn Book. It's compiled by the Evangelicals in the Church of England. Now, the very title is unfortunate for us in Scotland. Imagine yourself going to All Souls, Langham Place, and being handed CH3. Imagine English visitors coming north, expecting the glories of metrical psalmody, and being handed the Anglican hymn book. Apart from the title, the other unfortunate thing about this book is the almost total absence of psalms. And the whole book leans very heavily on a former volume, which some of you may know, called Christian Praise, and was published by Tyndale Press, I think largely for use at IVF meetings. Mission Praise is still immensely popular. Here it is. But you'll have to face the fact that some of the material is already dated and is passing from general use, even amongst young people. Its predecessors were Youth Praise 1 and Youth Praise 2, and it is argued that they had a useful lifespan of 10 years. Apart from the stuff that is passing into desuetude in this book, the good evangelical hymns can now be found in other volumes. Of much greater interest, I think, is Junior Praise, which is the young people's version of Mission Praise. I think this is a marvelous book for Sunday schools and for school assemblies. My pagans in Muirtown Primary School just devour it. By Blue Galilee is here. O happy day that fixed my choice. When the saints go marching in this joyful Eastertide. And there are fun hymns for teeny-weeny boppers. And the hymns teach Christian truth. Standard ones, Mr. Noah Built an Ark, Down Came the Rain in Torrents. You may smile, have you seen the Pussycat? But it contrasts the Pussycat with larger relative, the lion. The hymn is about God's care for great and small. Have you heard the raindrops? The hymn about Christ, the water of life. Who's the king of the jungle? And eventually, of course, who's the king of me? J-E-S-U-S. And if you can tolerate, what shall we do with the drunken sailor? The infamous, we have a king who rides on a donkey, is in Junior Praise. Although you would have to tell the children that our king no longer rides on a donkey. He sits on a throne. And along with all of that, for the very young, there are hymns in Junior Praise which will take your teeny-weeny boppers well up into teenage years. Dear Lord and Father of mankind is here. Bind us together, Lord. Blessed assurance, Christ triumphant, ever reigning. O sinner man, where will you run to? And when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And if ever I ought, for a book for juniors, then this is going to be the book. Christian Praise was compiled by the Evangelical Movement of Wales, and its aim was to preserve the best in evangelical music. It certainly has marvelously preserved that best from the greatest movements of our spiritual history. There are great hymns from the Reformation, from the English dissenters, from the Puritans, from the spiritual awakening under Wesley, and from 19th century hymnody. One great drawback is the language. The theology is not in question. It is impeccable. But its expression may be found by many to be too antique and too quaint and steeped in the devotion and the piety of other ages. And I think that I agree with Robin Lever's comment. He's quoting Christopher Idle from the Crusade magazine of November 1977. And Robin Lever says, Chris Idle in his review asks, just how long are we going to sing to God in exclusively antique or fake antique English? And that is a serious question. With the editors of these three books, I would wish to preserve the best of evangelical hymnody. I heartily concur that the truths expressed in many of these hymns are as valid today as when they were first written. However, we are not talking about truth, but about language. Some hymns do have a timeless quality about them, but a great many more look very tired and quaint today. We need new expressions of the same truths if we are to avoid the charge that in the hymns we sing, we are teaching the world that the gospel was more relevant and powerful yesterday than it is today. Before we sing the last hymn, Christian Words to a Secular Tune, can I finish by citing some stirring words by William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. And they are cited by General Edward Higgins in the 1930 edition of the Salvation Army songbook. And General Booth says this: "Surely no man has ever been called upon to make or direct the making of so many songbooks as I have. It is no little consolation at 70 to know that millions of people in every part of the world are singing together God's praises as a result of the efforts he has helped me to put forth or to direct for their good. I thank God for the gifts of all his servants, ancient and modern, whose compositions I have been able to adopt. But it is not intended in any degree to limit the flow of new songs. For wherever these songs are sung, they will cause the production of others. And many songs here may yet be left behind should the number of our best songwriters be multiplied. I also wish to prevent the lowering of our standard and of the taste of our people and the character of our service by the use of songs that may have some worldly popularity just because they are not so definite or so hot as these." And these purple words: "Let others, if they please, heap together pretty poetry and sing it to what is called refined music. Let us persevere in our singing of the simple old truths in the simple old hearty way that God has already blessed so widely to the salvation of souls and the making and training of red-hot soldiers." That's the big phrase. The making and the training of red-hot soldiers. "My Jesus, I love thee, to the tune of Land of My Fathers," which of course is the Welsh national anthem.
"My Jesus, I love thee, I know not more, for thee all pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior,
yeah.
Time.
Well, we've plenty of time. And we're really blessed. It's a tremendous blessing. So let's do a bit more. Can we have these gone? And after that, until four, we might pick one or two out of this. Okay?
Right. Well, let's try Cannock James, which I'm going to sing. And it's... Yes, of course, yes. My voice is holding... Are the people holding out? That's the question. A CH3. Well, voila. There's CH3.
Tom, you won't be speaking about songs for God's people before you're done.
Well, it made me so angry that I thought it would be unwise of me to speak about
it. The thing of which this company wants guidance.
Is he?
Tom, go over some of the best ones again. The Welsh one. Yes, what's that?
Songs from Welsh people. It's the new
one. Oh, have you not spoken about that yet? Well, you better get going.
No, it made me so angry. It reminded me of the Shakespeare play, Much Ado About Nothing. You'll notice that a very disproportionate number of hymns comes from the Wild Goose publications, which is the Iona Community Press. And these hymns are all pretty well orientated socio-politically. And I really couldn't see us singing many of them. There are hymns in African dialects. Well, it's bad enough getting people to sing in English, but to get people to sing in African dialects, which probably Africans in other bits of Africa don't understand, I think is a vain thing fondly imagined. Kyrie eleison is there. Why should we sing in Greek? Why should we not sing in English? There's one hymn that consists of one word, Alleluia. Only you sing it four times. Are you going to ask your people to stand up and sing Alleluia to a tazzy tune four times and then get them to sit down again? People with arthritis are still trying to get up. And it's time to get down. Believe me. They have tried to restore. They wanted to respond to the clamor for hymns from last century and from redemption. And so Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, is here. They put back What a Friend We Have in Jesus as well. Of course, these hymns can be found elsewhere in better collections. I certainly could not use this. I think that you might be able to use some of it in small groups, you know, sitting together in the way in which Salvation Army soldiers sit down together and sing choruses. Because a lot of these things in here are not hymns. I notice they call them songs, like the army. I wouldn't even call many of them songs. They're choruses. And they really are very slender. And I would be unwilling to spend money buying that for a whole congregation. I've confined myself more or less to congregational praise, because that's the big thing. I haven't said much about the sort of hymns that we can use in small groups of teenagers and at campfires and barbecues and all that sort of thing. You might be able to use some of this.
Can I ask, John?
Yes.
We're very grateful for the advice about hymns for today's church, which uh-huh. is a hymn book to displace or what you have at the moment.
Uh-huh.
What I think we would be interested to know is, supposing that we have CH2 or we have CH3, what, if anything, are you recommending as the supplement? If you were buying one paperback supplement, which one would it be?
Yes, that's what you would say. Some might suggest what they use as a second book.
Well, mission praise is the big thing just now. But as I say, the difficulty is that quite a lot of mission praise is already on the way out. Yes. Yes. Junior praise. It really has a lot of grown-up hymns in it. I don't know why they call it junior praise. Maybe because of Noah and the Ark and the donkey and all that. But there really are some very fine grown-up hymns. But it would look awkward, I think, handing junior praise to a congregation. Well, it's like the
Anglican. We hand them out every Sunday talk.
Junior praise. Nobody's complained. Yes. You're using it.
We have done for some years as a supplement. We found it really quite helpful. I think some of the but the settings of the tunes are lovely.
Beautiful. Exquisite. Yeah. Hand it to the Anglicans. Yes.
But you wouldn't use that as a supplement.
supplement.
I mean, it must be an extremely expensive supplement.
Well, we haven't had given, in fact. We have gone over, I have to say, we've gone over to mission praise because the young people didn't find enough in hymns for today's church. We have done people service and some mission praise now as a compromise, really. So, but it's, we enjoy that.
Yes, but I mean, short of getting someone rich to give you a gift, hymns for today's church is not a supplement.
I wouldn't say it was a supplement. I think it's too major a book.
Yes.
What is?
Hymns for today's church, the Michael Bourne one. Mm-hmm. By the way, you notice all the names I quoted. You'll find them all also in Psalm Praise, because Psalm Praise and Hymns for Today's Church are very close to each other, of course, coming from an Anglican source, Bruce.
If you do a statistical comparison between mission praise and songs of God's people, if I might mention that title, and if you take out of mission praise all the ones which are already in the hymn book, and all the ones which are just chorusy ones, and all the ones which you could sing with the congregation, I think you'll actually find as many in Songs of God's People that you can sing with the congregation mm-hmm. than what you could extra usable ones with mission praise.
Yes.
But that's just my own sort of thing.
Yes. No, I can see the point of that. The thing is, the best hymn book is the book you write yourself. But then, of course, you are involved in the issues of copyright. Eric Routley has a very good paragraph on copyright and the things you pay for and the things you don't. He laments the whole business of copyright. He said that when the Wesleys wrote their hymns, they didn't copyright any of them. They were hymns for the world. Anybody who wanted to sing them could sing them. And the same with the translations of Catherine Winkworth, translations of the old Reformation hymns. There was no question of copyright. They weren't there for God's people to sing, but now they have copyright stamped on everything.
Tom, what's mission praise too like?
Yes.
Tom, what's mission praise too like? I've heard about it, I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen mission praise too, no.
Mm-hmm.
Voila.
It was to answer the fact that mission praise was originally brought out as Mission England praise, designed for Mission England.
The Village Green.
The Christian year, Christmas and Easter, evening hymns, and all sorts of things that were left out. So that the idea now is Mission Praise 1 and 2 together will be our church hymn book.
I see, yeah.
And Mission Praise 2 had at the back of the music an index of hymns, tunes, covering both books.
Mm.
There is also carol praise with all the Christmassy ones.
Yes.
There's an overlap between junior praise, carol praise, and this.
Mm-hmm.
You're jolly well going to do your homework.
Yes, but absolutely.
You're jolly well going to buy two books.
That's right.
You've got to buy that,
that's right.
As
mm-hmm.
well as Bishop of Music. That's not practical.
The thinking that they're bringing out that combined Mission Praise 1 and Mission Praise 2, is that correct?
It's like you.
James, Mr. Still wants me to ask you something, and I don't know what it is he wants me to ask.
Tell us about your second book.
That's the Welsh one.
I think I would agree with the concept. Some of the language is dated and faded. No, no,
no. The one you write yourself is the perfect
one. I think carol praise is cut out language to do with the masculine. Good Christian men rejoice, for instance, is good Christian folk and so on. Praise and try to alter it in other words.
I don't know, how many of you are still using the Revised Church Hymnary?
Quite a number.
But we find it very satisfactory. We've got other books,
yeah.
Mostly. When we were compiling CH3, I appealed to the local committee with regard to the... to about 100 hymns that I thought were absolutely essential for our normal worship. And they wouldn't listen, and I don't know how you can manage with CHC.
My folks, you can actually buy the copyright license for a year, depending upon the size of your congregation, and you pay that to the Music Publishing Association, and that enables you to drop a collection of the hymns that you like.
Yes. You know, I think it's very odd that the evangelicals in England have produced two hymn books, the Anglican hymn book and Hymns for Today's Church, and with all the talents and gifts in this assembly, we haven't produced a hymn book. Might take a lot of money and a very rich benefactor, but it's something to think about, you know. If we want to put together a collection of the best that would somehow please us all, or most of us, why can the people south of the border, down Langham Place Way, do it? And,
just put it out for yourself. That's,
yes.
That's a job for you.
Oh,
yes.
Big mouth shut. Cannock. If you're tired of that weary Victorian tune for Look from the Seed of Endless Day, Cannock is a lovely, vigorous tune. It's in CH3, is it, James? By the way, the opening is a carol. It's about Big Ben or Westminster Chimes. Chimes. We need a pitch. Watch the change. Given. It's in the Revised Church Hymnary. It's a hymn about the Scriptures. You got the tune, James? Quite a number of leaps, so you better watch the leaps. And now it comes a lovely tune. On the door.
Holy Father, thou hast given, holy truth from highest heaven, words of counsel, wise and pure, words of promise, right and sure, light that guides us back to thee, back to peace and purity. Blessed Saviour, light divine, thou hast bid us rise and shine. Grant thy peace, and we shall be the Lord in thee. In all around the world, to life and love.
Well, we are very grateful. We know what it costs you. We don't know what it costs you, but we have some idea. And we're we're very grateful, Tom. And the whole company agree that you are the one to. So you better get cracking.
Who's the king of the jungle?
You better get cracking and do something about it. And we'll all be on to him. And we really do appreciate all the learning that has gone into this, and all this array of books. You must be very wealthy to buy them all. one you haven't shown, you may not have, is the one that David Innes and Charlie Abel sent to me from Australia. Has anyone here got the new Rejoice? Nobody here.
That's
got
a new
the,
book for
the new
Australian church.
Book from Australia. It's very, very wide. There's all sorts of funny things in it. It's
one of my tunes is in it.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
This one.
Borsoi.
Oh, is that so?
Psalm tune.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's a great hymn book. It's very, very large. I suppose there'll be nearly 1,000 hymns mm-hmm. in it. Mm-hmm. Called Rejoice. And Charlie Abel. had a good deal to do with it, David Innes too. So that's I don't know that it's on sale in this country. It wouldn't be.
I think not.
Jolly good. Thank you and thanks,
James,
Mr. Organist.
Jacobus.
Oh.
Thank you.
Down for a word of prayer.